Coming up in this episode, I discuss the results of my very first Story Origin newsletter swap, price matching ebooks on Amazon to free when you're not enrolled in the KDP Select program, and how I lifted my pre-order penalty on Amazon. So stay tuned for all of this and much more. Welcome to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary, an exclusive look at the behind-the-scenes misadventures of a 30-something mystery author. Discover how close she is to releasing her latest novel, hear exciting details about upcoming writing projects, and discover the lessons she has learned along her writing journey so you don't have to make the same mistakes. You can find the episode show notes and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. Hello writers, the results of my very first Story Origin newsletter swap are in, and it's not what I expected. As I cast my mind back, I decide whether I will do another newsletter swap again in the future. And I share my biggest lessons learned. In November, I managed to secure another free mystery and thriller ebook promotion on Kobo. Due to the change in price on Kobo, I decided to change the price free across all other platforms. This led me to send an email to Amazon asking them to price match missing on their store. And it is this request that had surprising results. While we're on the topic of Amazon, I finally felt brave enough to ask Amazon to lift the pre-order penalty on Duplicity. Just in case you're wondering, yes, I managed to make progress with the revisions for Duplicity in November. Yay! On top of all of this, I share details on how you can be a guest on the Authorpreneur podcast. Stay tuned for all of this and much more. Just to let you know, this episode was recorded on Monday the 24th of May, so this show is primarily me looking back at November and December 2020. I know it's been a while since I published the last episode, and even though I've sort of figured out how to work at home with my husband, it's still really difficult. Like, I can't just whip out my podcast equipment and record because I have another person in the room or in the house and they're walking around. He has a ton of meetings. There's traffic, and all of this makes editing very difficult and obviously recording very difficult, so I've struggled. But today he's actually gone back to the office for the first time, so I'm going to try and get as many episodes recorded today so then I can store these up and edit them and release them so it looks like I'm on schedule for once. If you're on YouTube, you'll notice that I've gone back to an audio-only version of the podcast. I've had to pull the plug on the video podcast because I couldn't do everything and something had to go. Realistically, it's two lots of editing. There's the video editing and then there's the editing of the audio. And I can't just pull the audio from the video. I've tried to do that and it's not good quality no matter what type of microphone I have. Because this is a podcast, I'm prioritizing the audio only. So unfortunately, there's just not a video. The video episodes just aren't happening. I'm sorry. But I will always make the audio available on YouTube for you to listen to in the background as you work. Throughout this episode, I will be referencing tools and services that I've used. If you're interested in reading the transcript or would like links to anything that I've mentioned in the show, then check out the very long blog post or edited transcript at authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS038. And if you're new to this podcast, then I want to say a huge thank you for stopping by and trying out my show. And to those of you who have been faithfully listening, thank you for regularly listening in and supporting me. Your support means more to me than you know. Before I dive into the main content for the episode, I want to share a few ideas I have for the show. In essence, I'm looking for feedback about what you want to hear about going forward. In the spirit of full disclosure, I'm getting a little bored sharing the author diary update style episodes of the podcast. I like sharing what I'm up to, but I don't want to devote an entire episode to discussing the previous month. This feeling led me to brainstorm a few ideas for future installments of my author diary. I'm thinking of creating episodes around the following topics. topics because I've had a bit of experience and I've tried these things. Number one, lessons learned writing, marketing, and self-publishing a first in series novella. Number two, the cost of self-publishing your first book. Number three, how to get your first 10 book reviews. And number four, the real costs of free books, including my real downloads versus reviews, costs of marketing a free book using paid sites. Which of these episode ideas would you like to hear about the most? Come on over to the blog post and participate in the poll or join the Am Writing Fiction Facebook group and share your thoughts in the group. Another thing I wanted to get back to with the podcast is the writing tip episodes. In season three, I want to start discussing how to outline or the pre-writing phase. Because I'm an outliner, that's all I can talk about. But I realize that this is not everyone's writing experience, but you get it. I can only talk about my own experience. To give this show a more objective view of the pre-writing phase, I want to interview other writers on the podcast about their pre-writing process. I mean, how many times can I say pre-writing? The question I have for you is, how do you write? Are you a pantser? Do you outline? Or does your pre-writing phase resemble a mixture of both? I'm particularly interested if you're a pantser or do something that resembles both plotting and pantsing, because I don't know how someone can open a computer and start writing without a plan. That's not a judgment on my part. I'm genuinely curious about how you pants your novels. If you're interested in coming on the show to talk about how you write, here is a short list of what I'm looking for in a guest. Number one, fiction authors only, because nonfiction writing is a different beast, and I'll get to it eventually. Number two, you published at least three books in the same genre that are novella length or longer. And the reason why I'm saying I've put this as a topic is it takes you a while to figure out your style, and publishing a book is a great way of getting feedback, and that's something I can attest to. Number three, you've published books to a high standard, professional looking cover, and professionally edited. I don't necessarily have anything against you designing your own cover, because that's what I do, but it needs to be to a professional standard. It needs to look like, if I saw it on a bookstore, I wouldn't say that's self-published. I'll be like, oh, maybe I want to read that. That's the type of cover I want. So you don't necessarily, I'm not being snobby about only using professionals, but the professional editing is important because you learn a lot during that phase. And I'm trying to get quality interviews where you can actually get tips that you could try out in your own writing process. The other reason behind these requirements is I'm looking to interview other authors who have more experience than me. So far, I've written two full-length novels, one of which is 75% of the way through the rewriting process, and both are not published. And I've published a novella and a short story. I want to talk to authors who are a little further ahead and have or are figuring out what works for them. If this sounds like you and you want to be on the show, come on over to authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast/interview and fill out the Be on the Podcast form. Once again, I'll add this to the show notes in your favorite podcasting app, and you should be able to just click on it and fill out the form. In the previous episode of the podcast, I mentioned that I had signed up for my first newsletter swap on Story Origins. The swap was free to enter, and it was a read and review promotion for stories in the crime and mystery genre. For the sake of clarity, when you sign up to a newsletter swap, you agree to share the books with your list and on social media on a specific day. Even though I had a small list of 48 subscribers with a good open rate, I was still accepted into the swap. That I was super surprised about. From the 3rd of November to the 27th of November, the promotion ran and everyone shared the read and review list with their subscribers. One of the things I didn't like about this swap was the artwork that you're supposed to share was a bit misleading. To me, it appeared to be a list of free books, even though the swap was for advanced reader copies or read and review copies. Fearing this was going to be an issue, I created my own artwork that I felt accurately reflected the swap. Despite my efforts to change the artwork, I still had a couple of readers on social media complain that it was a read and review scenario and not a free book offer. I mean, I tried. There's always two. By now you're wondering, was the swap worth it? The short answer is no. And now for the long answer. During this 3-week period, I only received 3 ARC reviews. As of today, I have no reviews as a result of this newsletter swap. And remember, I'm recording this in May, almost 5 full months later. If that was going to be the end result, I would have rather uploaded my book to the swap with no read and review strings attached. I would have received more downloads. However, let's address the elephant in the room. The results of this swap could be attributed to running a promotion during a US election. An election period is usually a time when book sales plummet because people are more interested in the political environment. And that's something I've recently learned from a course called How Can Your Business Survive the Downturn by Dean Wesley Smith. I'll leave a link to that course in the show notes in your favorite podcasting app. I have to admit, I've discovered that I don't like sharing books that I have not personally read. It feels a little icky, and this is something I've always felt. It's just this is reinforced to me more so because I've had an actual experience that says this doesn't feel right. It's no longer an assumption. Even if the downloads were better, this style of newsletter swap is not something I will do again in the future. To be honest, it doesn't feel right for my author brand. As you can probably tell, I'm a huge fan of using the promotions tab on Kobo. If you've published your books on Kobo and you don't have access to the promotions tab, all you have to do is send the Kobo team an email at writinglife@kobo.com and request access to the tab. There are no requirements to get access to the tab that I'm aware of. At the time I requested the access, I had only published a long novella and a short story. Once again, I enrolled Missing in a free promotion for the mystery and thriller list for the very low price of £3, and it's still £3 even after all this time. During the 23rd of November and the 29th of November, I received 149 downloads. It was also during this period that I received 1 5-star and 2 2-star ratings, which brings my average up to 3.6 for Missing. I think it's a little higher now. I'll just check. Yes, at the moment, the average rating on Missing on Kobo is 3.8. On Kobo, I have 4 2-star reviews, which is bringing my average down below 4. It's worth pointing out all the reviews have come from free downloads. I've noticed that freebie seekers will complain about interesting things. I've had someone email me and say they didn't realize my book was a novella and went on a rant about how they don't like shorter books, even though the word novella is in the story title and the number of pages is clearly advertised. Sure, some of these 2-star ratings come from people who didn't like the ending, but it's hard to know why with this rating only system. If they had left a review and elaborated, I would know. So it's hard to know who just loves to complain and who legitimately didn't like my book for a particular reason, because knowing that reason is worth knowing, because if I've got another plot hole that I haven't, that no one else has picked up on, like all of my 3 editors and my beta reader, my 2 beta readers, sorry, then I want to know about it. During November, I completed 56 hours and 15 minutes of revision across 14 sessions or days. This time led me to contribute 7,302 new words to the revised draft of Duplicity. These new words were added to chapters 27 through to 34. I'm happy to announce that I've reached the 72% mark in the revised draft. On a more fun note, I researched autopsies and autopsy suits within a morgue. In my quest to research all things autopsy related, I came across a couple of interesting books that helped me outline my autopsy scene and get the details correct. Autopsies for Authors by Jeff Simon, which is a part of the Forensics for Fiction series, turned out to be a valuable resource. The book is available on all ebook retailers. I'll try and leave a link to wherever I can find the ebook in the show notes in your favorite podcasting app. And they won't be affiliate links, by the way, they'll just be plain old link for you to find it. And just in case you're searching for him on your own, his name's Jeff with a G, so it's G-E-O-F-F, and his last name is spelt S-Y-M-O-N. To outline the autopsy scene, I first had to plan the autopsy and what the forensic pathologist discovers and in what order. As I planned the autopsy, I made a decision about how much gore I wanted to describe in the scene. My decision came down to what was necessary for the reader at the time. I found it would be more interesting to show how the detective and Crown prosecutor reacted to the viewing of the autopsy. In these planning stages, I reached a point where I needed to ask a pathologist questions to clarify a few issues that came up for me. With the help of my husband, I interviewed my father-in-law, who is a retired pathologist who performed autopsies for the French police on a contractual basis. It was during this interview that I realised I had to move a scene forward because the autopsies are only performed during certain hours of the day. And in my book, it was occurring late at night. And on top of this, with the timeline of the discovery of the crime and crime scene and all of that, I had to allow for the pathologist to wait for certain tests to be completed before the autopsy took place. In December, I planned to have the month off to relax and maybe do a bit of admin-related tasks. Around the Christmas period, I decided to start working on Entitled to Murder, which is the prequel novella for my murder mystery book club series. Over a 3-day period, I completed 8 hours of writing, and I've included 2 hours of research because it helped me to outline the scene. Included in that 2 hours of research is time I spent on Google casting the characters in Entitled to Murder. I'm glad that I made this decision because it helped me to write better descriptions of the characters. At one point, I felt all the characters looked the same, which is a bit sad. After the casting was complete, I outlined an important scene in my story. The scene contains a series of moments where the reader sees all the characters interacting with the victim before the crime takes place. It's important that I start layering hints at motives, red herrings, and other subtle clues. Outlining and seeing blocking helps me to achieve this layering in of clues. Before I started writing the scene, I realized that the story needed a character scene where the reader sees my protagonist react to the events that had taken place up until this point. On top of this, I shared the revised draft to chapter 3 over my blog and on Wattpad. And at the moment, I've reached up until chapter 10 and I haven't added any more chapters, which is quite bad because I really do need to at least release a chapter a week, so I need to go back to balancing Entitled to Murder and my current projects. If you've heard something in this episode that was helpful to you and you'd like to support the show, then buy me a coffee for as little as £1 at buymeacoffee.com/authorADHay. After I left the feedback from my alpha reader from Fiverr Sit, partly due to fear, I went through the feedback and applied the changes that I found useful. Before I submitted my manuscript to the paid alpha reader, I changed the name of the victim from Maxwell to Manesh because to better reflect his heritage and to avoid confusion with another character with a similar name from Missing. I also started noting the beta reader feedback from the readers in beta books in a spreadsheet just so I could see any common themes arising. The story isn't as bad as what I first thought, which is a huge relief. Over in Scrivener, I highlighted the chapters that needed further revisions by changing the scene icon from the default to a pen. My biggest issue with the beta reader feedback is readers telling me what they personally don't like. For me, the point of hiring beta readers was to figure out whether the story works, not whether a reader doesn't like how my French character curses in his head in his native language. I've chosen to ignore comments like this because this habit is something I've observed in people who speak English as a second language. And obviously, I don't know what goes on inside another person's head. When my husband and I first started dating, I have fond memories of waking up at 3 a.m. to hear him say "murd" over and over again while searching through a box for his snow socks. He was doing a bit of last minute packing before a ski trip to Austria. Like, he was supposed to leave that morning, first thing that morning, and it was like 3 a.m. Yes, those were the days. And that's really what prompted me to make this decision with James saying "murd" because he does say it. And that's not how you pronounce it, by the way. I am screwing up the pronunciation of that word. So it's something I need to keep consistent now. It's locked in with the first book and there's no changing it. While we're on the topic of feedback, I also got a comment about a neurodivergent character in my story. I was accused of adding the character as a way of ticking boxes, when in reality, as I rewrote the scene, I discovered that my character was most likely on the autism spectrum. In the end, I chose to not defend my non-neurotypical character because it started to feel as if I was writing to a committee and I don't want to intentionally start a fight. In November, I emailed KDP customer support. To email customer support, all you need to do is click the help tab located in the top bar in your KDP dashboard, then scroll down and click the yellow contact us button. The button will bring you to a new page where you need to select the pricing topic and then select price matching. For the sake of full disclosure, I used a template that I learned from the SBF 101 course and I tweaked it to suit my situation. However, Amazon does provide a loose template which highlights the information you need to provide in order for the price match to be successful. Over on my blog, I've shared an easy to follow template based off the email I sent to Amazon. My book was price matched to free in the US, the UK, Canada, and Australian stores. But it did take some time for the price matching to take place. From memory, it took 5 days for all of the stores to show the price as free. During my free promotion, Amazon did change the book back to its original price. A few days later, after the promotion had come to an end, I sent the support desk an email and requested the price match to be removed. The change back to its original price did take some time, but it wasn't a big deal. From the 4th of December to the 12th of December, I listed Missing for free on Amazon, Apple, Google Play, Kobo, and Barnes & Noble via the expanded distribution through Drafter Digital. During this time, I used Facebook ads, Awesome Gang, and My Book Place to promote my book. My goal for this promotion was to generate more book reviews for my first in series novella. I want to preface this by saying these results are not spectacular, and I didn't spend a lot of money on these advertisements. I'm going to dive straight into talking about the reviews I received during this period. After that, I will discuss how the individual ads performed. At the end of the promotion, I had a total of 15 ratings and reviews on the Amazon store. I received 2 5-star ratings on Amazon during this promotional period and 1 4-star review from an ARC reviewer that I'm assuming is from Lola's blog tours review opportunities that I purchased earlier in the year. In the review, the reader doesn't say where they received the advanced reader copy, and the review doesn't have a verified purchase label. And that's what makes me feel that this person has used Lola's blog tours. Over on Kobo, I had a total of 20 ratings and reviews at the end of the free promotional period. This was not an official Kobo promotion. All I did was set the price to free for a particular period. During the promotion, I received 4 extra ratings and reviews. I received 2 4-star ratings, one of which was short but a positive review, and I received 2 3-star ratings. The issue I have with this rating only system is I don't know the reasoning behind the rating. To be honest, I can only assume they didn't like the ending of the story. On the Google Play Store, you don't get a breakdown of the reviews and ratings. All you see is an average. At the end of the period, I had 2 ratings and reviews on Google for Missing. I received 1 4-star rating with no review. And the only reason why I know that is because I've been keeping track of the reviews as they've come in. So I work out what the new rating is based on the new average. In terms of downloads, my biggest stores were Amazon, Kobo and Google, and I received a total of 209 downloads during the period. Over on Kobo, I received 123, on Google was 40, Amazon was 31, Apple was 8, and Barnes & Noble was 7. To be honest, the downloads on Kobo were received at the back of a free promotion which ended on the 29th of December. My book continued to sit on the free page on the Kobo store because I didn't change the price back after the sale. For some reason, I find it easier to give away a free book on Kobo with very little effort. Even on Amazon, I find giving away a free ebook a challenge, but that's because of the number of ebooks available to readers. In December, I received delayed reporting from Barnes & Noble for September, October, and November, plus the current period on Draft to Digital. So I had to go back and sort of change the number of downloads and sort of made those other periods where I've used free book promotions look more like they were more effective. I mean, this is very little numbers, but I only have 1 book available. I have 2 books technically, a novella and a short story, and the market is quite competitive. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but there's lots of other books people could choose to download for free on top of mine. In this section, I'm going to briefly discuss the performance of ads, including cost, downloads, and click-through rate, if it's available. At this stage, I'm not interested in breaking even or making a return on investment. The only thing I'm interested in is trying to get more reviews for Missing. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I improve the average rating of my novella. And this is what I want to do before I publish Duplicity, which is book two. Over on Facebook, I ran a boosted post from the 4th of December to the 12th of December with a link to my Books to Read page for Missing. The daily budget for the ad was £5 a day with a total budget for the period of £40. Then they add taxes on top of that. At the end of the advertising period, I received 427 clicks with a cost per click of 9 pence. Before I ran the ad, I tweaked my existing audience to English-speaking countries beyond the UK and USA. According to Universal Booklinks, 84 people clicked on the store links once they reached the Books to Read page. Only 19% of people went on to the store. After this, I have no idea how many people went to buy the book or download the book because it was a free. On the 7th of December, I purchased an awesome game promotion for $10. During this promotion, I received 27 free downloads across all platforms. I didn't include any sales from the next day. It's hard to say whether all of these downloads were from Awesome Gang because I had another promotion running on the other stores at the same time. On the 11th of December, I paid for a free ebook promotion on my book place. The promotion cost $20 and I received 13 free downloads. I'm going to be honest, sharing these statistics is embarrassing because the numbers are so small, but I'm being honest. And I believe there's a value in sharing these numbers because all you ever hear about are the big sales figures by more established authors. If you're a new author like me and you're experimenting with advertising in the hopes of getting more reviews, I hope this helps you out in some way, especially if you aren't spending $4,000 on Facebook ads, because I'm not. I'm spending £40 and this is what I'm getting. So I think it's valuable in that respect. In September, due to availability and struggling to write during the pandemic, I cancelled the pre-order for Duplicity. Immediately, I received an email from Kindle Direct Publishing with this statement in the email. We are temporarily adjusting our policies for pre-orders to allow you to cancel your pre-order without penalty. All I had to do to lift the stated penalty was contact KDP with the ASIN of your pre-ordered book. I know it's a little late, but I finally got around to sending them an email, and I put this off partly because I thought they would just say no. And a member of the KDP customer service has emailed me back and lifted my pre-order ban. It was much easier than I first expected, and I got a positive result, so yay! If you've received one of these emails after cancelling a pre-order and you're on the fence about taking them up on the offer, then I highly recommend you email Amazon customer service. So that's all of the tasks I completed in terms of writing, book marketing, and email marketing. During the next few months, I want to divide my time between writing my prequel cozy mystery novella entitled To Murder and revising Duplicity, which is the second book in the James Lond series. The next episode of this podcast will be in 2 weeks' time, and I will be discussing my author diary update for the first 4 months of 2021. If you have any questions or have tips on book marketing that you'd love to share with me, please come over to the blog post at authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS038 and share your thoughts in the comments section. Thank you for listening and happy reading and writing, everybody. Bye. Thank you for listening to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary. You can find the episode show notes, back catalogue episodes, and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'll see you in the next Behind the Scenes Author Diary episode.